Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is showrunner and executive producer Joe Pekaski, who is responsible for, thank goodness, one of the best television adaptations of a Marvel property I have ever seen, Cloak and Dagger. Hi, Joe. Thank you so much for such a delicious show.
Hey, Summer, now you're making me blush. It probably won't show up on screen. But, thank you for the greatest introduction I've ever had in my life.
I am a diehard Marvel fangirl, and Cloak and Dagger was one of those titles that it came out of nowhere. It just, issue number one showed up on the stands of my comic book store, and I went, huh, that looks different, and I was hooked. So when I heard it was coming to television, I was like, okay, let's see where we're going here. And then I heard you were involved, and I'm like, okay, I liked Heroes. Underground was cool. I think this is going to be good. And my expectations were blown out of the water.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I mean, it's funny because I was a crazy Spider-Man guy, and we're buying comics like shortly after I could read. And just seeing them show up in Spectacular Spider-Man, and I had the same reaction. I'm like, I've seen a lot of stuff, and these two are special. So that's kind of, it means a lot that I didn't completely screw them up, because Tandy and Tara would mean a lot to me.
Well, I'm happy to find out you're a fan, too. And in season one, the hints and name drops and winks and nudges back towards the Hell's Kitchen comic origins of the characters tickled me. So that let me know that this property was in good hands, someone who appreciated the history, and taking a chance like you did, relocating them to New Orleans and telling a new story, I thought was going to be tricky, but it was pulled off so beautifully.
Yeah, I think credit Jeff Loeb to really like completely, you know, working with me and allowing us to do that. In a weird way, I think, in retrospect, of course, I was terrified when we did it too. But in retrospect, it was better because it was a little freeing and we were allowed to redefine certain things without being too handcuffed, not only by the, you know, the great Netflix stories, but by the comics too much.
And the way you broke Freak, setting up the legend of the divine pairing and then setting it up so that, spoilers for season one, people, when they saved the city, the curse of their pairing went away. Yep. And then you have this open canvas for season two and the addition of Mayhem, which I thought was just a brilliant stroke. Where did the idea for setting up the types of criminals we have in season two, is that also an echo back to the people they fought in Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. As we started breaking season two, I was as surprised as anyone that we started leaning back towards the spirit of the original comic. And there's a couple different origins to our human trafficking story. The first was a conversation I had when I was working on Underground, which I created with Misha Green and was about the Underground Railroad, and we were talking to someone who ran an anti-slavery museum, and I asked him where the worst instances in modern slavery were, and I was expecting him to say something like the Congo or the Sudan, but he kind of pointed to the highway, you know, just in Louisiana, and said, you know, there's a lot of it happening in America, and so that's kind of stuck with me. And as we started thinking about who Tandy and Tyrone will now stand up for now that they've, you know, decided to be heroes, it felt right to kind of put them in a place where they can, you know, there are always, as you know, the people who fought for the forgotten. So this felt like a right story.
Nice. And the way it's unfolding, I won't delve into any spoilers for season two yet, but the way it's unfolding brings back a sense of danger to both our heroes, like there was in the original comics too. So thank you for that little callback as well.
Yeah, well, listen, when you have actors like Olivia Holt and Aubrey Joseph, you want to put them in as much story as possible. And I think, you know, the best stories, at least from a television standpoint, is when you're really seeing it through your main character's eyes.
And we're just, they are so delightful on screen together. It's like they were, you know, brother and sister from different mothers, you know.
Yep.
And the soundtrack for this show, some of the music that's been incorporated has just been heartbreaking. What were you looking for some of the songs, including the ones that our cast is singing?
I mean, I think I was very lucky to kind of steal half of my team from underground. Jonathan Christensen, who does our music supervision, just gives us, he starts off giving us hundreds of songs that feel like they could serve different tones, and then our writers and our editors always pick songs or write them in. So it's very important to us. It just feels like of the mood. So I think honestly, what we do is we usually try, the editor throws a song in, we usually try 5 to 10 alternatives till we find the right thing. And then we have our secret weapon, Stephanie Lowry, who's our music editor. And what she does is she can reconfigure things to, she pulls it apart into pieces of the music, which are called stems, and really kind of helps drive the drama of the story with the song in a way I've never seen.
Cool. Well, that is a part of what makes this show special. And as I said before, the performances of the cast you have here has just, I can't think of a time where there was a flat moment. And a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to Emma Lahana about the twist in the Bridget Mayhem characterization. How did you approach her of saying, well, you're going to be doing double duty?
You know what? Emma proved very quickly. I mean, this is probably telling enough school, but like she came in at the last minute. We hadn't seen her before the last round of auditions, and we kind of were. I know we had a couple of choices that we were happy about, and then Emma came and blew them all away. So we noticed, her first episode, she didn't say a word, and she got across so much. So the more we saw what Emma could do and what a talented actress she was, the more exciting it got to present this other side of her. And it became pretty easy once we started talking about the twist of her playing two different characters. Not a lot of actresses can do that. Not a lot of actors can do that. But we had full confidence that Emma could do it. And I'm sure when you talk to her, she's a trained ballerina. She really is one of the smartest people I've ever met. And she really put a lot of preparation and effort and how she carries herself as different characters, different facial expressions. When you see her in episode 8 coming up, she plays opposite herself, and you have to remind yourself it's the same human being. She does such an amazing job of differentiating. So it's as with Olivia and Aubrey, when you have a talented actor like that, you just lean into it and you give them challenging things that they pull off.
Yeah, we talked about the difference in physicality between her playing O'Reilly and her playing Mayhem, and she was just happy that she got to stretch so much doing that. So you mentioned upcoming episodes. You're actually directing episode 7, right?
Yep, I am. I did. I got through it.
And that was that your very first time directing something?
That was my first time directing. I've directed, second unit and some pickup scenes for Underground and for Cloak and Dagger. It was my first time directing a full episode.
What was that like?
It was exhausting. It made me respect directors a lot more. It was, you know, it was as we started breaking the story for episode 7, which, obviously puts Tandy in some precarious situations. I started getting a pit in my stomach that if we didn't find the perfect director, that not only would the story not be told delicately, but that Olivia wouldn't be treated with the type of care she needed to go to these places. So, the closer we got to kind of filling out that. Our director dance card, I came to Marvel and said I'd really like to be there for her. So it's not a game of telephone. So I'm not across the country. So I'm not behind the monitors and that I'm in it with her. And Marvel, to their credit, really got it and really had my back and they let me kind of dig in. So it was great. I got to be a little closer with the cast. I got to understand some of the demands of my crew and hopefully made it better for them in the future. But it was fun. It's a hard job, but it's really rewarding.
As far as directing a story that is so close to your heart, do you feel that sometimes you might not do the story enough justice or do it too much just to make sure it's all right?
Yeah, absolutely. That was my biggest fear. I mean, I get to work with these fantastic directors who elevate my script, and then I get to hopefully elevate it in post. And taking out that extra person scared the crap out of me, to be honest. But, I felt like I also didn't want to live with the regret of someone else doing it and me wishing it could be done, not necessarily better, but a little differently for this particular hour.
So, does this make you want to look forward to directing again?
I think so. I mean, I've got plenty else to do, and I really want to make sure I'm taking care of the writing and the show running. But I look to people like Joss Whedon and J.J. Abrams, who kind of make sure they kind of direct the key episodes and set the tone. And I think it'd be interesting to keep, one of my feet in the door to do exactly that when we need it. And also with such a crazy show, we don't have the biggest budget, but we're super duper ambitious. It's good to be able to kind of help pick up scenes or add some things whenever I need to.
So, is there any other news about, because there was some talk about you wanting to do a crossover with Runaways.
Wouldn't that be fun? Have you read The Runaways?
I haven't read The Runaways in years. I read, I think, I don't even remember how many I read, but I remember seeing it and going, this looks cool. And I can't remember if I read all of it. But when I
You remember it?
saw the adaptation, when I saw the Hulu show, I'm like, this is awesome.
Right. It was super fun. I'm a big fan, been big fans of Josh and Stephanie for a while, and I remember reading the books and being surprised, I think, in the second or third book where all of a sudden Cloak and Dagger show up. So it is written in the tomes, and I'm working as hard as I can to try to make it a reality, so stay tuned.
What would excite you most about a crossover should one happen?
I just love the idea. Our shows are compatible, but they have different tones, and I love the idea of seeing Tandy and Tyrone in a slightly lighter place, or perhaps seeing, all the actors from The Runaways kind of stepping into our tone a little more. This dates me a little, but I remember watching the crossover between Ally McBeal and The Practice, and I thought it seemed like it was so much fun to make. So I think just the idea of, I think particularly these coming of age Marvel metaphors are stories about measuring yourself up against society. I think kind of allowing Tandy and Tyrone to step into a slightly different society is exciting.
Awesome. Well, your episode, Viking Town Sound, airs on Freeform this Thursday, May 9th. And I have every faith that it will be as much fun as everything else we've seen so far. So, again, thank you for giving us such a wonderful show.
Thank you, Summer, for speaking so highly. We really appreciate it. We're glad you like it. And thanks for ringing the bell for us.
All day, every day, especially with Marvel shows. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And that's all we have for our special edition Slice of Sci-Fi today. It's a special edition because it's going out on Thursday, May 9th, which happens to be the debut of the episode of Cloak and Dagger that Joe Pekaski is directing. So listen to the interview now and then watch the episode of Cloak and Dagger tonight. And depending on how busy I get with other things, I may or may not be joining in the live tweeting. So we'll see. If I am there, I'll see you there. If not, we'll catch up at some other time. What's the next show I would live tweet with? Probably Cloak and Dagger next week. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you for listening. You can tune in to more Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and Player FM. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. We're also on YouTube, Slice of Sci-Fi there. Don't forget, come to the website, sliceofscifi.com, where you can leave your own comments, express your own opinion on some of the reviews and commentary we have here on the website. Or if you like the direct route, you can always call. The phone number, the voicemail line is 602-635-6976. Or you can just shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. I'd like to thank everyone who is supporting Slice of Sci-Fi, Writers After Dark, Babylon Podcast, and the handful of shows in this tiny science fiction, horror, paranormal, documentaries, indie film orbit that I like to call my own little playground. If you'd like to help keep these playgrounds online, feel free to add your pledges to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sliceofscifi, or just do a one-time donation every now and then using PayPal. The link is paypal.me/scifisummer. And we have goodies, perks for people who help support. And every now and then we have a contest. Stay tuned. There will be a new contest starting this weekend. I'd like to also send out a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci Fried, for providing the theme music here on this program. And if you like your rock and roll geek flavored, like I sometimes do, go listen to more of the music they have crafted over these years. Sci-Fried.com is the place to check out their music, and they have a YouTube page. Go check it out. I highly recommend it because in addition to being a Marvel girl, I am also a rock and roll girl. But that'll do it. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi in just a couple days. So stay tuned. Take care.